Our man on a Monday morning, the great Adam Gilchrist, who is part of the SENWA team, Gilly and Goss. Just lost Gilly on the phone for a second there. But the word around Tim Payne is that he's okay. He's going to be fit and ready for the Ashes. So remember, he had surgery last week on a broken disc or a neck problem. And the plan was, let's get him in as early as possible. This was the medic's plan. Let's get him in there as early as possible. Let's get operated on. And then he'll have roughly 6 weeks to be fresh and ready for the Ashes series. So we'll find out what Gilly thinks about that in just a second. Are you on the line, Gilly? Morning, mate.
Just cut out there.
We've got you. We've got you loud and clear.
Yeah, sorry about that, mate. It's the gremlins in the technology. But, yeah, plenty happening. Big hype and build-up over here. Grand final week in Perth.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's not bad. We'll get to that in just a sec. But you're right, there's plenty happening and plenty happening in the world of cricket. So what have you heard after Tim Payne's surgery? Tim's actually come out and told SEN that he's good, everything went well. And do you think he's going to be good to go for the Ashes?
Definitely think he's going to be good to go. Obviously, we can only take him on his word. But I caught up with Justin Langer yesterday, spent an afternoon at some local footy with him, just having a good old yarn at his. Very confident that Payne is going to be fine. There was a sort of an option to leave it and try to manage it, but Payne himself knows what discomfort he was in and how restrictive it was for his training and preparation. So they've taken this step, and by all accounts, it's been successful, and the road to recovery begins. But it sounded like quite an extraordinary procedure going through the through the throat.
Well, not only that, Gilly, because I wanted to get your perspective from a wicketkeeper's point of view, because you're in the most unusual position of anyone out there on the field. You crouch down all day, your hands cop an absolute whacking every ball, and just the way that you are and the position that you are, if you've got yourself a neck injury or a back injury, it's going to flare up all the time, isn't it?
Yeah, I think from a keeping point of view, I think the only time I ever felt a bit stiff and sore in the neck was at the start of coming back into a season when you'd have had a bit of an extended break. And so obviously that will be maybe the issue for Payne. But he's going to have, hopefully, if the Shield season gets up and running the way we want it to, he's going to have a couple of games, I think, at least leading into the Test match. So any of that sort of early season soreness and stiffness, hopefully, it dissipates just with a bit of workload. So, yeah, I mean, everyone will be watching closely, but he's determined to play this Ashes. You would think it's going to be his last, definitely his last Ashes series. Whether it's his last series for Australia, we'll have to wait and see. But I think he'll be right. He's an experienced campaigner. He wouldn't have made that decision lightly to get it done, but he obviously felt it was the right thing to do.
If he has a little hiccup along the way, if he's not good to go, who do you go to with the gloves?
Yeah, good call. Good question. Inglis or Carey are the two clear names there. Perhaps they might go with Carey. I mean, there's a bit to happen between now and then, isn't there? And as I say, there's possibly some Shield cricket being played. Josh Inglis will be over with the World T20 squad. World Cup squad over there, so you're going to miss a bit of that. So, you know, if I'm picking it today, I suspect, and this is, I don't know anything, but I suspect they might say, well, Alex Carey is someone that we've known how he's performed in international cricket. He's a bit more the sort of banking, the banker move, you go, a bit more knowing what you've possibly got. But by the time December comes around, maybe Inglis might have nudged his way in front. Either way they go, if they had to make a choice, I don't think they lose too much there because they're both outstanding cricketers. But Josh Inglis, his stock's on the rise.
Yeah, absolutely. The talk around Josh Inglis just gathers pace. And I tend to agree with you. You sort of look at it and go, okay, they'd probably go, Alex Carey is safe. Like you say, he's bankable. It's almost like for like, if you want to put it in that sense. And then Josh Inglis is probably, you know, the future and that the stocks are rising and he can come out of the box, but there's plenty of time for that one. So the IPL finally got underway overnight. Gilly, I haven't caught up on too much. I've only been able to read and read and read, but isn't it great to see this back? Because when it was finished, or when it was halted in May, I, in particular, thought there's no way they're going to get this back up and running, but here we are in the United Arab Emirates and limited spectators back in the stands.
Yeah, it's, they're always going to find a way. It's just worth too much money, this tournament, to Indian and I guess world cricket to an extent, given the amount of revenue that generates through India for the across the cricketing globe. But extraordinary, isn't it, really? We are in unprecedented times, but to have a competition get paused and then move complete locations to a totally different spot and then resume again, it'll be, that's the power of the dollar to make sure it gets done. But conditions aren't completely different between the UAE and those in India. And, well, I guess something that is common fare in the IPL for those that do follow it is that Chennai Super Kings are always somewhere in the hunt, and they got their campaign off to a positive start, or the back half of the campaign, with a win over the Mumbai Indians last night. So, yeah, there's a couple of powerful lineups there, Mumbai and Chennai. But, it'd be interesting to see how it all goes. Does David Warner, from an Australian point of view, does he get back into the Hyderabad team, the Sunrisers? He was dropped just before that tournament finished earlier in the year, and he was most disappointed and upset about that. So I think he'll walk straight back into the starting lineup because there's a few players that won't be there. Johnny Bairstow was one player keeping him out of that team by the end of the first stanza of this tournament. So, yeah, I think around about 13 Aussies spread across the teams over there. And so good time for them to get into it. And Glenn Maxwell came out and said, a perfect warm-up for a World Cup. So hopefully they can use this preparation work.
Yeah, you're right, 13 Aussies. So you got Maxi there, Warner, Steve Smith, Marcus Stoinis, Dan Christian, Josh Hazlewood. So there's quite a few of them. Moses Enriquez, Nathan Coulter-Nile, Ben Cutting as well. So it's great to see that back up and running. What did you make of the discussion over the last week and the murmurs coming out of England that if the quarantine situation isn't sorted and up to, I was going to say standard, but really it's more about the families and how they can move around, that the English may consider sending a B team over for the Ashes? Surely they can't do that.
I think I'm getting more and more comfortable that we're going to have an Ashes series, more relaxed about the possibility that an England team will come and a competitive England team. I think it seems like there might be one or two players who don't want to make the trip, who, you know, like what we saw with the Australian guys not wanting to go on that trip to the West Indies and to Bangladesh. Obviously, the Ashes, you would hope, is a little bit more dear to the heart than a one-day T20 tour, but they're challenging times, aren't they? You can't put yourself in anyone's position with any certainty to know what they're thinking and feeling. But I took a lot of heart from Stuart Broad's comments that I read overnight, where he said he's, you know, provided he's fit and selected, he's definitely going to come down, and he expects that there'll be a team come along. I mean, think back to trying to think about a period of time when clearly we haven't had anything like a pandemic in our lifetime like this, but in a sporting sense, the mid-80s, when the Rebel Tours went ahead and Australia had to send an Ashes team over in 85 that was decimated with players who'd gone to the Rebel Tours. So, if four of your players tear hamstrings just on the eve of a trip, you don't call it off. You just find what you think are the best possible replacements. So I think that's what England will do. There is talk a bit about the players trying to band together and making sure that they all stick together and don't, that sort of divide and conquer approach that the administrators may take. There's talk of that, but I don't think any England player could turn around and deny a fellow professional the opportunity to go and represent their country because others chose not to go. I think common sense will prevail. There'll be an England team here. It may not be, you know, 100% your first picked team on paper, but if they're, like in any situation, if players, like Ben Stokes at the moment, England haven't been able to pick their full-strength team because Ben's taken a break. He's got an injured finger, but he also openly admitted he needed time away from the game for mental health reasons. That's part of your fitness, isn't it? Your hamstring's part of your fitness, so too is your mind. And we talk about, at the elite level, so much of it is played between the ears. So if that's not at 100%, players don't come, but someone else will step up and fill that void.
Now, mate, when we caught up 2 weeks ago, I think you were ticketless for the grand final. Have you made your move? Will you be there for the AFLGF?
Well, I presented a case. I told you it was a Gilchrist package, didn't I? It's one in all in for the whole family. And plenty of lobbying, plenty of presentations, PowerPoint presentations on what we can do for you at the grand final. We're in. We've secured.
You're in.
We're in there, mate. Yes. And I say it proudly, given the network that we work for and we're talking on right at this moment, care of the SEN. It might cost me a little bit of work on the day, do a few things, but I'm happy to pay that price, mate.
Yeah, I knew you'd get there. I had utter faith in your abilities to land yourself. And it's a corporate suite, isn't it?
Oh, well, they've got a mountain of activities going on, SEN. I mean, I'm the busiest man in Australia, in the world. I said on my show this morning, I didn't think it's possible to fit 25 hours into 24, but he's doing that somehow. And yeah, they're going to entertain a lot of partners and friends of the network. And yeah, it's building up now. With the Brownlow completed last night, it is literally countdown mode. Perfect weather here. Can't wait. The anticipation's it's palpable around town. You can really feel it.
Yeah, and a great venue, Gilly. I mean, it's an awesome venue, and to have something like the AFL Grand Final there, while obviously it belongs at the MCG, we saw last year at the Gabba, it was an amazing show. This year at Optus Stadium there, it's going to be sensational. You enjoy it. We'll catch up again next week or maybe the week after. We might even give you a week off.
Good on you, mate. Look forward to chatting.
On you, Gilly. There he is, Adam Gilchrist, and you can catch him via the SEN app on SENWA. So Gilly and Goss, Gilly alongside Tim Gossage. That will be an amazing, amazing event, I think, the AFL Grand Final. Coming up soon, we'll take a break, but after that, I'll play you a little bit about Chris from Chris Cairns. Now, we know that he's had some incredible health battles, suffered a really nasty stroke, and as a result has had further troubles as well. He's made a bit of a plea and a thank you to those that have looked after him here in Australia. But I'd like to get your thoughts on what we're discussing with Brandy and milking penalties. I'll have my say on that next, but you can text 0457 736 736 or give me a call 1300 01 1170 and have your say. I mean, it's getting to the point where everybody's doing it. It's becoming part of the game. I don't know what the league does about it to fix it, but milking penalties should not be front and centre as an issue in the NRL when we get down to the final 2 weeks or 3 weeks of the game. And if you saw what unfolded across the weekend, well, that's already happened. 0457 736 736 is the text line.